This is tape three of the February 12, 2005 public meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Well, in 2 years, there's going to be three new commissioners.
That's right.
And Dorothy's, this is her last year, so there's going to be tremendous turnover in the next couple of years.
Did Nancy's position, is she completing the term for?
Yes, and so she.
Well, hers would be up too this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess she would have the potential of coming back.
Yeah, she could be reappointed.
Yeah.
So you're thinking that you don't think that we should be necessarily putting something in the list of duties that speaks to,
like I said, I think that's, those aspects are hopefully some of the reasons why we got put on the commission to begin with, that we brought some variety of expertises and capabilities. But I do think it's important that, for the transition, that there be a, new commissioner type kit. Developed, and I know we've talked kind of about it before, but I think this training thing that we're going to gives us a good framework as to how to, what that kit might look like.
This is Pearl.
Yes.
I think that's really good, Bob, and I hope that as you read through the materials that RCEP is putting together for this training, you can take consider whether the value of each one for new commissioners. There may be, if you have too much, it gets either piecemeal read or not read. And so maybe as you read through, if there are things you think are particularly important or other things that you think really weren't that valuable, it would be helpful to have that list.
Yeah, what I'm thinking though is I'm wondering, we don't say anything in our job duties or expectations or whatever about either creating a packet or having ongoing training or any of that. And while we're committed to that and we think it's a great idea and everything, I'm wondering if we should have something in our guidelines so that people will look at that and say, we really do need to be mindful of that, or do you think that it isn't something that ought to go, be in that level of
expectation? Yeah, I mean, as far as we're talking about a mission statement, I don't think it hurts that, that we say what the new commissioner's package should consist of. I mean, I think we'd also talked in the past about the written reports that when we do individual topics from meeting to meeting, that those be accumulated, and those would be good things to give to a new commissioner. But I don't know if we need a, I know what we could say. It's important that the mission statement that we develop a transition commissioner kit for that will facilitate the training and assimilation of a new commissioner to the board. So that'd be something, we could require us to develop a kit.
Madam Chairman, instead of just giving a kit to a new commissioner and say, here, go over it, why couldn't a board member go over it with the new board member? And then they understand it, that they've read it. Spend like a half a day going over all the kit with them. Do your own board training.
Yeah, you know, so if we were to say, you know, develop and update.
Yeah.
Because if we just say develop, that sounds like a one-time deal, and I wouldn't want us to do that. I think we need to.
Yeah, I think update should be part of it.
Yeah, we should do that. So a transition, or just a commissioner's kit or whatever. I don't know if we need the word transition or.
Well, new commissioner kit.
Mm-hmm.
Starter kit or whatever. Commissioner 101 handbook.
But that would help to facilitate the training of new commissioners.
Well, I think it's important because us as the first commissioners, it's up to us to, you know, we basically established a lot of precedence, and having the handoff materials to a new commissioner is something that we should do as a board.
I agree. I think there should be some way of, you know, saying that the commissioners are also responsible for continued training, you know, that we don't just say when somebody's new, okay, here, this is now you're trained, now you know, or whatever. It's an ongoing process, and I would hope that we would do something so that people would expect that.
Well, that in there, one of the requirements is that they read, you know, in a timely manner, all correspondence. I mean, that's basically how they keep up to speed on the ongoing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we just don't know. I mean, this, you know, what is this? This is the fifth year of the commission, and this RSA thing just turned up, and it may never turn up again. And so we can't depend on there's going to be things like this ever again. So we need to take the opportunity to what materials they put together, and what they put together, and see if this is going to be useful. I think it probably will be to incorporate into our new commissioner training kit or starter kit.
Well, we could have something like, you know, avail themselves of relevant ongoing training opportunities or something like that. I don't know. But perhaps we don't want to. I mean, this is one of the kinds of things that we can certainly.
I think we need to prepare a starter kit for the new commission, and they need to read in a timely manner all materials.
Those things are already there.
And as far as
our proposed
taking etiquette classes, or I just don't know if we want to go into any kind of ongoing training. I mean, what I just don't think that's a commission's requirement, or I don't think it's standard or customary or.
Well, it's just my personal opinion that, as far as ongoing training, it, to me, the emails and the correspondence and so forth that we receive are, that's, to me, is training too. Mm-hmm. I have learned a very great deal through that. I mean, obviously learned a lot at these meetings, but I also learn a lot just from the emails that we get from every aspect, whether it's a client that's finishing up or one of the Pearl's updates or something from Val, it doesn't matter too much. To me, they're all, maybe not every time I find something new, but a lot of time I'll say, oh, I didn't know that, or I should have known that, or something to that effect. But I think just, as Bob was saying, keeping up with emails and correspondence or whatever we want to call it in a timely manner is very important. I mean, that is training in itself to me.
Well, our focus topic, that's
exactly
training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's another training.
That's good training.
Thing. Yeah. Because you learn from that too.
Yeah. And another thing, just to formalize what's been going on, I mean, the things that are forwarded to us, there probably could be some listing of the types of things that we want to have forwarded to us, because now while Pearl's here and people are here, I mean, we're just doing it, but Pearl gets hit by a bus, and you know, it's you know, we want to kind of formalize this relationship between the commission and the commission board, and the documents that we're getting now didn't all just happen at once. We've kind of evolved into that, and we should make a listing of the types of things that we want sent to us, so that it's just not somebody's whim to send them to us. They know that, you know, we want those types of things forwarded to us.
Yeah. No, we specifically, you know, with the, you know, specific to the document, I had sent to you the thing saying that, you know, I wanted us to discuss the idea of revising the, you know, the number 13 that talks about things, let's see, it says, okay.
Got me everything?
Sure, that'd be good.
Number 13, received both written and in-person focus reports from NCBBI supervisors and program specialists, asking for follow-up materials and or clarification as needed.
Yeah, and I wondered if we should change that to just NCBBI staff rather than supervisors and program specialists, because we really want things from everybody. You know, we don't want to say, well, we're only interested in management or whatever, you know, the rest of you guys, well, too bad. You know, we don't want to do that. And so I would suggest that we, you know, that we modify that. So if people don't have problems with that.
You know, another thing that we should do is, you know, you could go back and dig them out of every individual meeting, but occasionally we do motions. I remember like a year ago at the Sioux City one, we had a motion about as far as personnel issue, that if it, you know, if it reaches the highest level of Pearl, then we just want to be notified of it. And those kinds of things should probably be put in a better list than just have to go back and dig. Because, you know, kind of like a, you know, not a constitution, but a just kind of a, you know, list of operational motions that we've done. Because otherwise, I'm sure we've done some over the years that I've forgotten about. I mean, that one comes to mind, but I think we've probably done other that, you know, before we get too far into it, we could probably now go back and dig out and see if there's a list of those things that we should be putting down.
That's a good idea.
Yes, it is.
Did the secretary of the board want to do that, or do you want us to take care of that?
Well, it's probably just I don't have the minute, where are they archived?
They're on the website.
All of them are archived all the way back to the end?
Yeah,
they all are.
Well, it should be. I mean, if I dig into them and do a search on motion, then I should be able to cut, not have to go back and reread the whole thing. And if it's, yeah, I'll do it. I don't think there's been a whole lot, but there's been some, and we should list them out somewhere than just back in the archive minutes.
Yes, I agree. That's a good idea. Okay, so then you want to share those with us once you...
No, I'm going to keep them in their secret. I'll make a list of what we have. And,
I have a question.
Sure.
Do we have in here anywhere that new members should go to the website and go to every link and read as much as they could of each link? I think that would be the best way for a new person to really learn what the agency's about. Mm-hmm. There is a lot there, I know that, but...
And require a tour of the training center.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. That would be very good.
Because we can't always anticipate that the governor's going to put good people on the board. He might pick some.
Well, they might be a good person, but they might not know a lot about what we do.
Might
here.
Be a brother-in-law of some big contributor out in.
That'd be okay. They are contributors.
Yeah.
They probably are more political party contributors.
Well, I suppose that we're, you know, I mean, I know when this happened, you know, in other transitional times, we haven't had very many of them, but if someone is, you know, we're presuming, which most people are in this day and age, but not everybody is, that someone is computer literate and, you know, has a computer, has the internet, you know, has all of those things to do that. I think that that is something that we certainly should suggest to people. But I think that, you know, having somebody get at the materials is the main thing. And
actually, yes.
Sure hope they have it, because
we, the commission, would need to make sure that any time a new board member came on, number one, we'd be finding out what your preferred format is for materials that we would be sending. And if the website or electronic doesn't work for anybody, you know, we definitely would be working with you to provide that material, whether it's on tape and braille and large print or print. You know, that I consider to be our responsibility, and we do that with any of the materials people need. And, you know, for a while we were sending in print everything that was emailed. So I, although I didn't say how they would get the stuff on the website, I do mean in whatever format works for them.
Okay.
But it'd be good to have that in the written list so that nobody forgets later about that.
Because the commission is going to go on forever.
Oh, we hope
long
so.
Long after we're
either 3 months or forever, so we'll know soon enough.
Hopefully whichever not comes
first. I was at a line meeting and they said, talking about guide dogs, we're going to get rid of those guide dogs. They said, well, blindness is going to be away forever. Oh, he said, oh, no, we're going to eliminate blindness. I said, no, you're not. Not the Lions clubs aren't.
Yeah.
He wouldn't talk to me the rest of the meeting.
Really?
For the 2 days that we were there, he just got mad because they were going to do that, eliminate blindness.
Well, good for them.
Maybe they have some kind of eliminate blind people. That's the only way you can eliminate blindness immediately or soon.
Yeah.
Okay, we seem to be coming to the end of our time here.
Well, I think we can start. We know what we've said, and I think we can kind of exchange some
emails.
Yes, and once we do that, then when we come together in April, we'll get other suggestions too. So, you know, this document is still a living thing in process.
Because it's really more important for the people that come after us than us. I mean, that's why we created it, to start codifying some of these.
So we fixed number 13 for sure. And we add one that says develop and update new commissioner kit that will facilitate training of new board members.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the only thing that we've actually added at this point? And we've talked about how that would be, how that training would happen, how that kit would be developed, but that didn't turn into another.
Well, I think we did, you know, more than the kit. I mean, like, you know, read the materials on the website, tour the training center. You know, we can make a list of new things that a commissioner needs to do.
I have a question.
So there would be I'm sorry, Nancy, but there would be another one that we would add that would say board members shall become familiar.
Yeah, new board members shall.
Yeah.
That could go kind of in addition to that 13, or
become familiar with the materials on the NCBVI website, tour the orientation center,
read the starter kit that the commissioner so diligently put together.
Boy, I'm glad you guys put this together after I got on board.
Okay, and then review.
Yeah, transition, or the, not transition, the focus reports.
So I think you guys just answered my question. The motion thing that Bob's going to put together is going to be a part of that material, right?
Yeah, we haven't decided where exactly we'll put it, but it needs to be kind of like...
In the starter kit?
So review...
Yeah, and just part of our commission, you know...
Mission.
Or part of our, you know, someplace better than just in the old minutes.
Right.
Have some kind of...
On an ongoing list.
Yeah.
When there are important motions that we've made.
Right.
Okay.
So review focus reports and board motions or something?
Yeah, I mean, board motions that involve operations of commission board, commission, as it relates with commission.
Activities.
You have to write it out, but, I mean, like meeting, like the motion we had to meet with the staff in April, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and was there something else? I mean, I know we're going overtime on this, but I don't want us to be, you know. So new board members shall become familiar with the materials on the NCBVI website, tour the orientation center, read the starter kit, review focus reports, and board motions involving NCBVI operations.
Learn how to bake Nancy's chocolate.
See, I'm still into the, you know, attend whenever possible, you know, training opportunities or that type of thing, but...
Well, those are just kind of advisory, good, you know, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Show up to board meetings. I mean, hopefully we don't have to put those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's...
Maybe we can put some recommendations under one of them, like recommend that you attend district meetings, or, you know, this, or home, I've forgotten the names of these things, or the VIPs.
Agency programs.
Right, yeah, the agency programs whenever possible. You know, try, you know, maybe...
We already have in here, I don't remember what number that is, I'm looking at the wrong thing. But we do already have in there to attend things that the commission does.
Okay, that covers it then.
It doesn't say it exactly that way, but that is in there.
The gist of it, okay.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I looked at that list.
Well, I do. I have it with me, but my machine keeps wanting to quit.
11, attend and participate in NCBVI functions whenever possible.
That covers it very nicely. Okay, so, and I didn't know whether we wanted to specifically have one that said, you know, meet with the entire NCBVI staff at least biennially, or do we want to do that, or do we not want to do that, or how do you...
I think that's an important thing to do. I mean, I would like to see that as a...
I mean, Pearl, can you imagine a time where, I mean, budget be so horrible? I mean, would state staff meetings, would those have to occur to some extent regardless, or would that be the kind of thing that if budget got bad enough that could not happen?
I can imagine a time when that could be the case, that we would forego a state staff meeting over a program for consumers.
Yeah, so I don't know if we want to...
Yeah, so maybe we don't want to do that.
Okay.
Just, you know, I mean, we could probably extend that one commission, whatever that one last one was, commission functions, and, you know, meet with the staff, you know, whenever possible or at some point. And again, I don't think we have to maybe do it all here. We could just exchange some emails.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move along now. Not a good idea if we have a timer and we ignore it. And if we say we're only going to have public comment at certain times, and we ignore that too. I call it flexibility. Some people may call it chaos. But okay.
Flexible chaos.
Yeah. Managed chaos.
Manageable chaos.
Okay. Status of Braille on vending machines. We did get a couple of comments about that. And, you know, the bottom line seems to be that people are saying, well, you know, we can kind of do that some of the time. And I don't know whether there is an ongoing effort. There are sometimes, you know, people are saying, well, you know, if you have a kind of an in-house service and there are only certain people going to be using it, then they're not convinced that that is necessarily a necessary thing. You know, to me, the Randolph Shepherd program being what it is suggests that alternatives that blind folks use ought to be out there. You know, they ought to be, and you know, I find in the commission building that some of those machines, you know, there is no way that I can figure out to use them other than having a reader. Mm-hmm. And I just keep thinking that there's got to be
a way
that people can prevail upon the machine makers. I mean, the Randolph Shepherd vendors are a pretty big entity if you take it nationwide. And, you know, I don't know. It seems like there should be a way of having machines that are in that program be as accessible as possible. But even, you know, last week I went over in the other building where there is one, there was a machine that someone showed me that was there that, you know, they said, well, this one has Braille on it. Well, it had Braille on some of itself. But there were some, you know, there was one that was, you know, kind of sticky where it had come off or whatever. And, you know, the comment was, well, you can tell there was one there. And I said, yeah, but I can't tell what it was. You know,
ask a question. Are you talking about the machines on fourth floor?
No, well, the ones that are totally unusable, yeah. Those,
because
I think
those aren't operated by a blind vendor. That's an independent vending company. And are you wanting us to, you know, tell them they better get this Braille?
Well, you know, I can't tell when I go to a machine who's operating, you know, who's in charge of it or whatever. So I guess, you know, I probably am, you know, stepping out of bounds, you know, talking about that particular one. But the one that had some Braille on it, you know, that doesn't have complete Braille on it, wasn't on the fourth floor.
Well, they're holding that out to everyone to use, so. Of course, everybody complains, you know, screams ADA all the time. I'm getting a little bit sick of, you know, no matter what happens, it's ADA. But still, if they have those machines there and it's for the public use, I think blind people are part of the public use.
And if Braille's not a priority, it won't be. I mean, if people don't ask for Braille, it won't happen.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, anything is supply and demand. If the vending machine makers, if no one is saying this is a problem, clamoring for Braille, then guess what? They're not going to even, it's not even on their radar screen.
Right.
That, you know, like what Barbara said, part of, if a blind vendor is operating a machine that can be Braille, even though a blind person may not come around but once every 5 years, it still makes a point to the public that Braille is a real thing. It's what blind people use. It's part of the whole notion that Braille and blindness and, you know, are not alien concepts, that these are just, you know, that just the hotels don't say, well, you know, gosh, we only get a couple blind guests a year, so it's crazy for us to have Braille on all our rooms, you know, when we could just have one room and we could just always put the blind people in that room. And I mean, that no one would think that's acceptable.
Oh, yes, they would. In fact, a few years ago, there was an entity out of Texas that came up to one of the hotels here in town and said that very thing. Well, we only have money to do 10 rooms or whatever, so they were going to do that. And, you know, we said that was unacceptable, mm-hmm. That, you know, then if they had the 11th blind person come or whatever, and they thought, oh, well, we can't have anybody in an unbrailled room, so we just won't have any more. We'll restrict the number of blind people we can have here. And that stuff does happen, and you know, and they did end up doing the whole thing, I think, eventually. But it is that very thing, you know.
I have a thought and or a question. Perhaps this commission board could send a letter to the national entities, the RSVA, the NABM, and if you like, the Randolph Shepherd Committee of the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. Maybe AFB has something to do with this, to make the point that you're saying, which we, you know, we've had kind of the same conversation in quite a few meetings, but send this thought out to the national level and ask, are you doing anything on this, or what are you doing, and get your points across about the importance of this.
Has anyone called the vending machine operators in the commission building to ask them to put Braille on, or?
Well, I know Lincoln District worked on that some. May I ask one of my staff to report on this?
I did call and speak to, and we did have permission to Braille those machines. You know, I think it's just a matter of no one's kept up on them as far as the fourth floor goes. The pop machines that are able to be labeled, I think, you know, we can take a look at fixing some of those labels that need redoing, but I don't know how we would handle, you know, the food ones, the candy and the other pop machines and things, but we do have permission to do that. That's as far as I know.
Well, some machines I've heard, you know, the rotating inventory and so on and so forth. But my thought on that is, okay, maybe doing the whole machine is hard and maybe it's too hard, but okay, how about have four items? So if a blind person walk up to that machine, is it feasible for him to be able to get a sandwich, chips, and we should never have the, you know, the good be the enemy of the perfect. I mean, it's, you know, some Braille is better than no Braille. More Braille, you know, is better, and again, it all goes back to how do you come at this? Is Braille a hassle? I don't want to mess with it. That's, I don't think, acceptable for Randolph Shepherd vendors' approach to be. And then the other vendors, you know, in our building that we use, I mean, we certainly have some leverage on them. We ought to be pounding on them to, you know, to do it, or say, heck, you know, or hire somebody to do it, or.
Well, it ends up being our staff that take the time to do that. With regard to the vendors and the vendors committee, when this is brought up at vendors committee meetings, that it, you know, the topic is on the next agenda of the board, almost always what they say is, we are working on the ones we can. The board is the one that's, you know, putting the emphasis on this. We, the vendors, you know, look to you, the board, for suggestions on how the heck to get this done. They welcome your attendance at their meetings for thought, you know, brainstorming and such, and so they almost always say those things. They would love to have you come to their meetings and discuss, and any ideas that you would have anytime, send them along.
Well, I've talked to more than one business person, you know, who does this thing about, you know, some people say, well, you know, you have to rotate because you have to find out, you know, it's a marketing thing and all that. And I've also talked to people who don't rotate. You know, so the rotators say that, you know, if you don't do that, then people look for the thing that they want and they get the same thing all the time. And if you rotate them, they have to look at various things and they may actually choose something different. The unrotators say, you know, people who come and they're looking for what they want, and if they can't find what they want where they think it ought to be, then they'll go somewhere else and they aren't going to look around because they're disgusted already that they didn't find their product where they expected it to be. And when I've talked about, you know, the amount of money or whatever made or lost or whatever on these various marketing approaches, you know, I've been told for the most part that it comes out about the same. And so part of it is a mindset, part of it is what people choose to do, And some of it has to do with if one product isn't there, then something else is substituted or whatever. But a lot of the time, you know, there are people who will have their stuff always the same, and they set up their cart the same way they set up their machines, and they make as much money as somebody who doesn't. And so some of the thing about it would have to be changed all the time is a mindset rather than a business thing. And, you know, again, I don't want to, you know, us to be dealing with micromanaging or things like that. And perhaps we are, you know, carrying on in a way that isn't being ultimately useful if things are, you know, are at a point where people have tried to think it out and aren't coming up with anything. You know, I don't want us to do that either. I mean, if we're not part of the solution, then we shouldn't be part of the problem. I don't know. It seems like, though, that there needs to be something that could be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just to say it's hard is, you know, that's not an excuse. When is the next vendor's?
Well, it's scheduled for March 4th. However, Terry Harris has a surgery March 3rd, and so he was going to send a note to the vendor's committee and see about changing it.
Is that, where's that one at? So I know there was one in December that I wanted to go to, but I wasn't able to go to.
Right.
You know, I just think that it's a mindset that, you know, that Braille should be on the mind, and that should be their mindset, and not,
right.
You know.
I don't have the location, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And anyway, they're changing the date. So I would guess Lincoln. But.
Well, if, you know, as soon as you know, I'm sure you'll let us know.
Yes.
Does someone want to consider the idea of the writing of a letter about, you know, about the subject to the national entities or whoever? I'm not quite sure.
I wouldn't mind doing that. Excuse me. I know I said if the board wanted to, but if you want me to write such a letter and express the things, I'd probably run it by you all first and see if I'm saying what you want me to be saying, but I could do that and see if there's any kind of, if they as a national entity have worked on this directly with machine makers, or, you know, that's what I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
What,
yeah,
might be,
yeah,
helpful.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I've certainly mentioned it, and I have not. I mean, I've not actually, you know, like written it either, but
mm-hmm.
You know, certainly brought it up.
Right.
You know, I brought it up at the September 9th meeting that was here, with where the vendors committee was here,
mm-hmm.
And you know, so I mean, I really am trying to be part of the solution, not just saying, hey, you know, I don't like this, do something or whatever. I don't think that's ever very
well. You know, my whole thing is I want them thinking of ways to use Braille, not reasons not to use it. I mean, that's, you know, when that's the mindset, I think that's what we want. I mean, that's what we need to happen, and that's you know, I mean, some things, it's a flat panel world we're going to, and it's accessibility is an issue with some, and there's no question about it. I mean, it ought to, but I think whenever possible, there ought to be Braille on machines, and especially the Randolph Shepherd vending machines. And if it can't be done, it truly can't be done, no way, no how, then okay. But let's, I think there's more cases when it can be used than can't. And, anyway, that's my.
Okay. So Pearl is going to write a letter about that and you know, run it by us, and we'll see if we can get somewhere with that, because I really do think, I mean, it's, we're trying to keep it in everybody's minds, and you know, I think having it reviewed at our meetings and stuff maybe does that, but I'm not sure that it's having it be positively on people's minds, and I don't want that to happen either.
Again, it's a mindset. They hear Braille and they hear, oh God, it's, you know, it's a problem. Dan commissioners want Braille on these machines, and that's, you know, I just wish we, you know, we could get away from that. And it seems to me that, you know, putting Braille on a vending machine is a natural thing, and especially Randolph Shepherd vendors, it should be a, them more than anybody should understand the use of Braille on vending machines, and we shouldn't have to explain it to them.
And we did get Braille dymo tape marker thing, labelers, for all the vendors. I mean, we've been working on it.
Yeah.
Well, and the one, you know, over here where the sticky thing was, and, you know, somebody saying, well, you can tell there was a label, you know, that to me, that really wasn't a totally acceptable answer to me either. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, replacing it would have been a better answer.
As they go and replace their stock, they need to look at the machine, and if there's things that need to be, if it needed to be cleaned or fixed another way, they would clean it or fix it. And replacing the Braille label on it should also be a...
So are you talking about a machine over in this building or in another place?
No, it was in the, it's, you know, as you go past the center.
Okay.
You know, there's a machine there. And
back in Don's office, you mean?
Well, I guess. I mean, it was back in somewhere. I'd not been before.
I'll check.
But, you know, I was all thrilled. Oh, Braille. And then,
What a great job for the trainees going through the commission for their Braille. Mm-hmm. Let's get out their dymo tape.
And it was a student who showed it to me. I mean, I was impressed with that. I was impressed with the fact that a student knew of a place where there was Braille, took me to show me, and then we were both a little frustrated by the fact that...
About a year ago, there was a fellow in our meeting here, and he said, oh, I know, I used to Braille those machines all the time. So he was supposed to go... often tell these, show these people how to Braille the machine, but never heard anything more out of them.
Well, the state office selling machines are Braille, and they're staying on. Contrary to popular belief that they would be torn off, they're staying on. But the candy and the stuff machines aren't, but they did get the Braille machine done on, I mean, it's Braille, I think, on all floors now. I don't know for sure. I know it is on the second floor and on the lower level.
Thank you.
I don't know about 3, 4, 5, and 6, because I don't go up there.
Thank you. I'm glad that was interjected, because I do think the vendors are making a serious effort, and, you know, to the impression that they all are just, well, it's a hassle, I don't think that's really accurate. I know some of that we've heard, but they're, you know, they really are working on it.
Then they should be commended, and that's, I think, you know, having this update, if it's happening and they're doing it, you know, hopefully it would be something you'd never have to be spoken about again, because it'd just be a natural thing.
And I think it says a statement too that if blind people won't Braille their machines, and yet we are forcing places like, I don't mean forcing, but, you know, asking places like hotels and restaurants to do Braille menus and these kinds of things, we're, you know, saying this is an important ADA thing, that, you know, blind people should want to do it for themselves. You know, just, it says something about blind people as a community.
Okay, so we will put it on next time again. See if we've gotten responses from, you know, the entities that the letter goes out to, and see what we can do about that, and see if we can, you know, maybe because if somebody can do it as an example and do it, you know, get it started, and I'm happy to hear that there is more of that in the state office building, and that it isn't being ripped off like was predicted, and, you know, and that type of thing. That type of thing will encourage other people to do it. So thank you, everybody, and we better get moving here. It's supposed to be 115 right now. And it's actually closer to, it's like 140 or so. So we are now behind, which is our predictable place to be. We're ready for the next period of public comment. You know, since we've been having people interject along the way, if there is public comment, now is another time for it.
Barb, this is Shepherd.
Yes.
The local non-Randolph Shepherd vendors, if they could somehow be provided with some resource or people to whom they could go to, even locally, to assist or obtain material or blind braille labels, would that induce them to get their machines labeled? Rather than say, you need to do this, and then leave them in the dark as to how to get it done.
Well, we're really emphasizing, because of our position on the board for NCBBI, we're really trying to get it done with the Randolph Shepherd vendors mm-hmm. first. I mean, you know, if there is a local vendor who isn't in the program, who is willing and wants to do it, certainly we're interested in that, and we would be interested in providing whatever can be provided. But if those folks don't have this agency's entity